Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Culture of the Kingdom, this session is entitled Being Salt and Light. Now, what we've been doing is we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount ever so slow. We spent 1 week per beatitude. So you guys know there's 8 of those beatitudes at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. We spent a week on each one of those. And what we want to do today is we want to look at the very next words out of Jesus' mouth in the Sermon on the Mount following the beatitudes. And what I want to just point out today is that commissioning to be salt and light, which it's, you know, the next lines, there's your little, hint. This commissioning to be salt and light on purpose follows the 8 Beatitudes. It's not accidental. We're supposed to connect them. We're supposed to see the correlation between these 8 Beatitudes and them lived out in our life, making us salt and light in the earth. And so I want to read us this portion of scripture. It's Matthew 5, 13 through 16. I just gave just a little excerpt here because we're going to touch on most of it throughout the morning. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the crescendo moment, in my opinion, of the 8 Beatitudes. He just got done saying, blessed are you if you live this way, blessed are you if you live this way. He just gets done with them, and then his very next words are, you are salt and you are light if you'll live out these 8 things that I just gave you. You guys will be able to make great impact in your world if you will operate according to these beatitudes and add in a little bit of intentionality. Now, what I want to point out here is that in this, Jesus isn't identifying us as because you're saved, you're salt and light. He's commissioning us to be salt and light. And so here it is, Matthew 5:13 and Matthew 5:14. Jesus saying, you are the salt of the earth. This is my intention for you as believers. You are the light of the world. Let's just talk about salt and light for a second, just kind of break that down. Especially in ancient world where this was, where Jesus is saying these words, okay? Salt and light were like much bigger deals than they are right now. I mean, I'm grateful that we've got light and I'm grateful that we've got salt, but like in that hour, these were like 2 of the best things in existence in that hour. You didn't have electricity, so you didn't have light that way. You didn't have the cooking network to be able to have all these different recipes for food. You had salt, and that's if you could find it, you know? So in this hour, what we're talking about here is Jesus is saying these words, you are salt, and everybody immediately understands, oh yeah, the big cooking ingredient, the big one, the one that preserves food and the one that flavors food so that it's not super bland. You know, there were lots and lots and lots of meals in that hour that were just the blandest thing ever because they didn't have access to all the different things that we do now. I mean, right now, I don't know if you know this, you can go to like Trader Joe's and find every spice on the planet in one building. That's crazy. I just imagine these guys would have died of a heart attack if you took them into Trader Joe's in the first century. You'd just be like, hey, heck, let's go down the street. I want to show you something, blow your mind. Just dead man on the floor, dead, out. We've got access to so much resource. We don't even read these words the way these guys were hearing these words, okay? Jesus says, you are the salt, not of the food. You're the salt of the planet. You are planet salt. You guys are the ones, you are the way that I am going to preserve the kingdom of God in the earth, and you are the way that I am going to flavor life. I'm going to make you the preserving agent and the flavoring agent of the whole planet. And that's kind of a big thing to be told. And Jesus starts off this way. Sermon on the Mount, basic Christianity. You are the salt and you are the light. Well, let's look at the light. So again, in that hour, no electricity. I just, having spent a stint in Africa in an area that didn't have a lot of resources, I got to see a little bit of this firsthand, just some of the difference, you know, when you're in an area that doesn't have access to the incredible resources we do right now. It's just, it's unfair how much we have access to. But I remember just being in situations where there was no light and there was no way to get light and there was no electricity. The only light that existed was light from a flame. At night, once the sun went down, you were done, unless you had fire. And when Jesus says you are the light of the world, he's giving them the picture. There's only one type of light at night, and that's if you've got a little lamp or you've got a bonfire, some version of flame that's either carried around or is stationary. That's how you have light at night. And Jesus is saying, you guys are that. You are the way to see in the darkness. The world that you are in is that darkness. It's after the sun has gone down. That is the planet. That is the spiritual state of things. I am calling you the light which can see in the darkness, which can navigate people around, which allows life to continue to operate, which allows the highlighting of every little thing out there. You know, one of the things when you're out in, you know, the woods or camping or, you know, outside of suburbia here, when the lights go out, all the critters come out. I mean, the lights go down and every little slithery, you know, carnivorous, whateverous thing starts roaming around at night, and you start seeing all these little eyes in the night if you got a flashlight. It's a little bit freaky. And Jesus is like, you guys are the way of navigation in the darkness. It is so important that you recognize you are that preserving agent. You are the flavor in the earth, and you are the light which gives people the capacity to see in this dark world. This is a big commissioning. This is heavy. This is not light and fluffy. Like, you know, you guys are going to get to be nice. You know, just play the Christian game. Like, Jesus is saying, you are my redemptive answer for the planet. You are the way forward for humanity. This is really heavy. So we've got these two motifs here, the salt and the light concept that Jesus is introducing. And he uses especially the light motif over and over in the Gospels, and it gets used over and over in the New Testament, this idea of bringing light into a dark place. And so we're going to focus more on the light thing today, though not only. All right, just Matthew 5, 14 through 15. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. This is Jesus trying to give a picture of what he's commissioning you and I to be. We're supposed to be those that in a room, we are giving light to everybody in that room. We are helping set the standard and the precedence. We're helping give people the vision of who God is and propelling a room full of people forward into the Lord. He says, but you actually could get a lamp and stick it under a bowl, and it's still a lamp, but it's totally useless. Don't be a useless lamp. This is Jesus giving us part of this commission. He's saying, you are the light of the world, but don't be a light that gets stuck under a bowl. Don't be a light that's hidden away. It's important that we take this commissioning seriously and that we recognize that we've got responsibility with relationship to this this incredible power that he's given us, this incredible commissioning that he's given us. It's not an automatic reality. It's a common misconception that because we gave our life to Jesus, we are now salt and light everywhere we go just because we're in the room. And that's not the truth at all. You can absolutely be that light hidden under a bowl. You can absolutely be that. So it's not a default. And I think part of what's happened is we've toned down the gospel message and we've toned down the Sermon on the Mount, and we've made it all just neat language that doesn't mean anything, that doesn't have any onus on us. We have been commissioned to be salt. We have been commissioned to be light wherever we go. It's not a default. It takes great intentionality. And you can all think of those moments where you had that opportunity to be salt or light and you didn't take it. That room didn't get any salt or light. Not just because you walked in the room. It's not like everything just brightened up. You're a lamp with a bowl on top of you until you take the bowl off. Every time you walk into a room, everywhere you go, you have the opportunity to shine. You have the opportunity to preserve. You have the opportunity to flavor every situation, every purpose. Imagine all the meals, all those situations that you're in, all those group settings that you, with intentionality, you can flavor that thing and turn the tone of the conversation. You can turn the tide of where the direction of that group's going. You can start to flavor it. Salt isn't the primary ingredient in a recipe, unless you're going to really pucker up. Man, that's a tough one. I guess salt lick. I mean, you know, deer like it. Salt isn't the primary ingredient in a recipe, but it's there to flavor it and make it awesome. Jesus wants you, wherever you are in all of your circumstances, to make it awesome. But it's by representing him. So let's talk a little bit about what it means to be salt and light in this dark world. I am blown away by what John 8:12 tells us when you compare it to what we just read. I'm just blown away. John 8:12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So here we have it. Jesus spoke again to the people and he said, I am the light of the world. So now this is Jesus making the proclamation about who he is, what he is, what kingdom is represented within him, what his purposes are, that he is to come to the earth to be the singular light of the world. So the words of Jesus, I am the light. But the same Jesus also said in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. Matthew 5:14, we can put that up there as well. You are the light of the world. Now, the only one who could actually impart that is the one who is it. So nobody else gets to say these kind of crazy statements. But Jesus does, and his whole point is, I'm going to be in you and now give you the same capacities that I've got to be that light. It's no longer going to have to rest on me because I'm peacing out here in just a couple of years. I want to be out of here. And I'm going to leave the onus on you to now carry the mission, to now be those that are those light bringers, those harborers of light into every situation, every circumstance, every relationship. He says, I am that light, and now I'm letting you be that light. And he calls it out the same way he speaks of himself. He says, now you are that light. I in you. I am in you, and now you have that capacity to be that light. I'm like, dang. The work of Jesus, not his saving work, but the work of Jesus through salvation that then gives the capacity for every dark place to be lit up, every dark heart to be lit up. We have access to the light of the world, and Jesus now commissions us, now you go and be me everywhere you go. That's intense. That's intense. Matthew 5:13, just before that verse where it says, you are the light of the world. I just wanted to focus on this phrase. It is no longer good for anything. It's kind of yucky. Jesus wants us to be good for something. He wants us to be good for light. He wants us to be good for being light. He wants us to take on the mission of being light everywhere we go like he is. That we can be like him. We can show light through him wherever we go. Look at Matthew 5. 14 through 16 here. We're to bring the light of the kingdom. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do the people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. We are to be living lives focused on bringing the kingdom of God to every place that we are. This is what Jesus is trying to commission us into. He's trying to say, your relational spheres, your families, your coworkers, your block, all the areas where you are, I want you to be like this lamp that has been set up, not under a bowl, but that's been set out in a room, in a house, on a stand, so that it lights up that whole room. Jesus is commissioning us to be those that are lighting up all the rooms of our lives. This is kind of heavy. Because where Jesus before was mostly, with the Beatitudes, was mostly looking at our internal heart attitudes, how we're handling things internally, now he's absolutely going for the external. He's saying, now I want you to do stuff. Now I want you to be stuff. I want you to shine outward. Now I can trust you if you've been trying, even a little bit trying, to work out those Beatitudes in your life. I can now trust you to be those that have the light within you. And now I want you to shine that thing out. And he says again, in the same way, let your light shine before men. Do stuff in front of people that is going to draw attention to Jesus. Be a source of light where you're actually speaking into situations, speaking into people's lives, speaking into family situations. Be the light of that room. Be the light of the world. We're to shine into the darkness of those around us. I'm going to read you out of Matthew 10 because Jesus talks about this whole light thing over and over, so many different places. Matthew 10, 26 through 27 is what that's supposed to say. I had a little typo there. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak it in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim it from the rooftops. If that sounds a little bit cryptic, let me just make it really simple for you. Jesus says, along this idea of us being light in the world, he says, I'm going to tell you secrets about me, about the kingdom, and I want you to go shine those things brightly out. I want you to speak into people's lives. I want you to invest into people. I want you to go declare things about me, about the kingdom of God, and it's going to be light in people's lives. In a word, it's discipleship. In a word, it's discipleship. This whole concept of being salt and light, it's about getting involved in the lives of people around us. It's not enough that we would live a private life in Jesus. It's now that we're to shine. Why are you shining? Because you've got light and you're trying to get that situation over there to have light and it didn't have it yesterday. That person over there, you're trying to get light into their life. That situation in that person's life where it's totally filled with darkness, you're trying to shine into that. And Jesus says, I want you to be light shiners. I want you to go and now break out of your self-consumed, self-focused, just you and Jesus relationship. I now want you to go give light to others and bring them into the story. I want you to bring them into the conversation. I want you to make an impact in the lives of other people. John 8:12, again, we looked at it a minute ago. I am the light of the world, Jesus said, remember? Then he says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is after those that will follow him. And the way that he gets followers of him is he gets those that have already followed him shining light that's pointing to Jesus so that others would then be able to go on the journey. Jesus wants for us to shine our light into the lives of other people, drawing them into Jesus. This is a call to discipleship. I actually think this is Jesus's preemptive Great Commission. That, you know, the Great Commission, end of Matthew chapter 28, he says, go and make disciples. We can put it up there. I think I've got that verse in there. Matthew 28:19-20. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I commanded. Jesus is calling the church to go and make disciples, to go shine light into the lives of others, to go and cause people to follow him. That verse in John 8:12 that we read a second ago, it says, whoever follows, it's a continual reality. We don't come to Jesus one time. We come to Jesus for the rest of our lives. We came to Jesus a first time, I hope. If you haven't come to Jesus for a first time, like, quit it. Like, come to Jesus. It's easy. Just go, Jesus, I'm a mess. Help me. Come into my life. I give you the keys. I hand over my life. He will take the most simple prayer. He's not after you having, like, all everything figured out. You just go, Jesus, I yield. Uncle, it's yours. My life is yours. And in a moment's notice, Jesus will now encounter your heart and help you to begin to follow him. But following him isn't a decision. It's a life. And he says, those that follow me, they will never walk in darkness. Never. Following him, they will never walk in darkness. And he tells us, now go shine that light into darkness that others might be able to follow me. Says they will never walk in darkness. I love the fact that Jesus invites us to be the light of the world like he is. Jesus' desire is to shine so brightly that people come to know him like you and I did. We gave our life to the Lord at some point in the process. And when we came to know him, we then took on the same ministry that he has, and that is the light of the world, in order to get others to see the attractiveness of Jesus and to begin to chase after him. This is an incredible commissioning. Again, I think it's the Great Commission in a kind of an intro way that Jesus is saying, now I want you to go be light bearers on my behalf. And what does that look like? It means getting involved in the lives of people and pouring into them. You know, there is only so much that people will receive from someone they don't have a relationship with. There's only so much. There's only so much that can be done. There's only so much ministry you can get done on the street meeting somebody for the first time and you've got 3 minutes with them. But if you see that same person for 3 minutes every other day for a year, and you're shining a little bit of light, a little bit of light. Let me just tell you what that is. That's discipleship. That's what that is. Shining light is discipleship. You can just say it this way. The only thing that light is, Jesus said, what I share with you in the darkness, go and make it known in the light. It's discipleship. It's taking truths that God has given us and then shining that truth into the life of another person. This discipleship. And you go to that same person 3 minutes every other day for a year, you are discipling them. And I think that this is actually the point of what we're trying to get out of this here. Go be light. Not so that we can spread niceness. Jesus' motif about salt and light, it's not so that the world gets a little bit better or smells a little bit, you know, cleaner or looks a little bit brighter. It's so that the kingdom of God, it's so that Jesus is able to take territory. It's so that the kingdom of God will advance. That's what the whole salt and light thing is about. It's not making things a little bit nicer. It's to spread the kingdom of God. We're on a mission. We're on his mission to bring light to this dark world around us. I want to give you this verse out of 2 Corinthians 5 because I believe it's so tied to this. 2 Corinthians 5, 19 through 20. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We, therefore, are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us to those people. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This reconciliation, this is Paul talking to a church filled with saved people. The Corinthians knew the Jesus. They were not lost. I mean, maybe a few of them were. This is Paul talking to them about the continued importance of us being ambassadors of light, if you will. Continuing to shine into dark places and saying, be reconciled to God in this area of your life. Be reconciled to the gospel in this area of your life. Be reconciled to what is true and right in this area of your doctrine. Be reconciled. Be reconciled. Make things right. Align with Jesus. He says, this is our job as believers. We're ambassadors of the kingdom of God. We are those that are the light of the world who have the capacity to change any circumstance. We have the capacity to shine light into people. Now, this whole pesky free will thing, people can still choose to reject you. They can still choose to go, no, I don't like the light, and just hide and, you know, put their hand over their eyes. That still can happen. But there is power when light shines in the darkness. It has impact every time. 100% of the time. So you might even be aiming at this guy or this gal or this kid or this neighbor. And because you're shining a light and they're like, not like you, not like what you stand for, and you're Jesus crazy. And they're totally rejecting the message. The other neighbor sees what's happening and they get hit by the light. The other friend, the family member, they walk into the house. I'm so mad at that next door neighbor, Christian, crazy. Blah, 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 and the spouse gives their life to Jesus. You just don't know, but I can tell you this. Light cannot shine in darkness and it have no effect. We are the light. There's no other light. You're the solution. You're the answer. You are the light of the world. If light is going to happen in your workplace, it's coming through you. If light's going to happen in your family, if it's going to happen on your city block, it's coming through you. And it's the process of discipleship. But I think that word discipleship, it sounds so scary, right? I was like, oh man, long-term investment. I'm going to like become a spiritual mom or dad in somebody's life. Yeah. But if you want to lose the scary language, you could just go like this. Would you just go be a flashlight in their life 3 minutes a day, you know, every other day for a year? Can you do that? Oh, well, yeah, I can totally do that. That's discipleship. You're shining light into the darkness. You're identifying areas of their heart, their life, their circumstances that need truth from God. Like you have truth from God. You've learned things about Jesus. You've received light from Jesus that can be of a great impact, and you know it can be because it's already changed your world. Go share that with that guy, with that gal, with that kid, with that couple, with the whatever. Go share that. That's what discipleship is. This commissioning. We are the light of the world. I'll give this to you too. Ephesians 2:10. It's all the same stuff. Ephesians 2:10 says it this way. There's specific expressions of light. There's specific ways that you're going to shine that light that God has already set up perfect for you. He's already tailor-made the situation. Says this, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Those good works, anytime you're doing a good work for Jesus, it's light. It's light shining out. It's discipleship. You're spreading the kingdom. You're expanding expanding the boundaries of light. You're pressing into darkness. You know, this whole world, just imagine when Jesus showed up in, kind of get a spiritual picture of the planet, okay? So you got, you know, all the angels and everybody else from outer space, they're watching this, okay? Jesus comes down and now there's this one singular light on the planet, this one bulb, okay? Jesus's desire was, hey, now after his whole life, and then he gives the Great Commission, he says, go around Jerusalem, do the whole Samaria thing, Judea, and then go to the other parts of the earth. What he's saying is expand the parameters of the light kingdom. Expand it. Press back the darkness. Go take it all. Well, in our worlds, you now are those little seeds of light in your workplaces, families, and everything else's. We have got the capacity by being commissioned as the one who is the light of the world. You, me, I can't believe Jesus gives us the title that he took on himself. I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. It's how his kingdom goes forward is through you and I. This is powerful. And it really doesn't need to be so difficult. Just decide to shine a little light. Let your little light shine. Just decide. Wherever you're at, I'm going to shine some light. What does that look like? Well, I only know two things about Jesus. Great, makes it really easy. Just share those two things. You don't even got to wonder what you share. It's all you know. Just give the two things. It's the only light you even know to halfway deal with. All right, great. Well, I've learned 35 things. Well, great. Now you need to use a little bit of discernment. Figure out which light you're going to shine. Just shine light. Just decide. Just believe Jesus. I am the light of the world. In my circumstances, in my family, I am the light of Christ. And I'm not going to put a bowl on top of that light. I'm going to put it on a stand in the middle of the room, and I'm going to let it shine that all men might see it and glorify Jesus. I'm going to spread light. I'm going to disciple. I'm going to spread the kingdom of God around me wherever I am. I'm going to give you a couple of applications here and we'll close out. First thing, you know, Jesus gives that whole really ominous line where he says, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Yuck, right? And for those of you who don't like that point, I don't like it either, but Jesus makes it really clear. We can become unsalty salt that is no longer good for anything out of the words of Jesus Christ except to be thrown out and trampled. Yuck. So one of the questions we want to ask ourselves is, am I salty? wherever I am I salty? Not sassy, Micah, not sassy, salty. Am I salty? Because Jesus says if the salt loses its saltiness. Now think about that for a second. Think about a grain of salt or 50, whatever works for you. And that salt is still salt looking, but it ain't salt tasting. The heck happened to that thing? I mean, I'll tell you one thing. Salt doesn't lose its saltiness overnight. That's got to be like corroded and moldy and yuck and probably got, I don't know, some other elements landed on it. I mean, for salt to no longer be salty, it had to go on a journey of like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be the first salt to ever not taste like salt. I'm going to be sugar tasting salt. Be pepper tasting salt. Like, what in the world causes salt to not taste salty anymore? It's quite a journey. So I just want to tell you, it's not going to happen overnight, okay? You don't got to worry about this being trampled underfoot thing unless you have just made a decision in your heart. Holy Spirit, you are not welcome here, and I'm doing what I want. Now, if you say that, you're going to become unsalty. You're going to get trampled underfoot. It's going to go bad for you. Just don't ever get there. And the way you feel yourself sliding into that, just as a little bit of warning for you, the way you feel yourself sliding into a position of the heart that says, Holy Spirit, you're not welcome here. I'm going to do what I want. It doesn't start there. It starts with, I don't know that I really, really want to obey that. I don't know that I'm really all about that. Jesus, I think I'm going to take a little break. I'm just going to not talk to you much right now. That's a slippery slope. But I'm telling you, it does take you a good bit to get to being a piece of salt that doesn't taste like salt anymore. All right, so you don't got to worry about that happening overnight. But it does happen. In this situation, I just want to say this. If you found, you look up one day, today is that day for you, or it's a year from now or 10, and you realize, I've gone all corrosive. I'm a piece of salt and I look more like a piece of pepper. You realize I have gone corrosive. I am not salt anymore. I don't taste salty. I don't look salty, smell salty. There is something wrong with me. I have great news for you. You are not doomed. It is not over. The grace of God will take you back no matter how dirty and yucky you have become. The word says, Isaiah 66:2 and Psalm 51:17, these are the ones that I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit, who tremble at my word. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. God, you will not despise. I got great news for you. If you've been stupid, just quit being stupid. Just turn to Jesus. I mean, it's the greatest news ever. He will take you back. If you just become humble and contrite right now, I mean, you done did some dirty stuff this week. You were out there and you were going for it. Decide right now, I'm done. And get humble and contrite in your heart, because he says he'll look with favor on you. This is good news. So point number one I want to say is, if you find you've gone all corrosive, just repent. Do it right now. Turn to Jesus. Second, I want to encourage you to do the salty self-test. Okay, just start asking yourself, am I salty? Because if you're not salty, you got a problem. What does that look like? You could ask the question a little differently. Am I making real impact in anyone's life? Am I flavoring my circumstances towards the kingdom of God? Am I making impact in anybody's life for the kingdom of God? And if your answer is no, not really, repent. Lord, help me. I'm not salty. I want to be salty. I want to make an impact. Listen, it's really simple. Jesus gives us these words, not so that we'll dismiss them, not so that we'll have neat parables, not so that somebody can preach on a Sunday morning. He gives us these words as guidance for the way we're supposed to live. So if you ask yourself the question, am I making impact? Am I really making any impact in anybody's life, anywhere? And your answer is no, say, oh God, help me. And then ask the Lord to start to give you some insights on how you can start to be salt in people's lives. But I want to say this kindly to you. If you're not making real impact in the lives of anybody, there's something wrong with your walk. I love you. If you're not impacting people for the kingdom of God, there's something wrong. That's not okay. Maybe in American Christianity, we've made it okay. That's a lie. Because the Sermon on the Mount says, you are salt, you are light. There is no plan B. There is no such thing as those who are real ministers and those who are pew sitters. We are all ambassadors for Christ's sake. We are all salt and light. If you're not making impact in the lives of anybody, that's a problem. Don't celebrate that anymore. Don't put that on the less than 1% that go to seminary and get a ministry degree or whatever. Now they're the professionals. That's dumb. That's not Christianity. We'll never get anything done if the only ones who ever do any salt and lighting are those that went to seminary or who got a microphone. That's ridiculous. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light. And I just want to tell you, if you're not making impact, there's a problem. The Lord will give you grace. He'll help you. Decide it's a problem. I think for most that are not making any impact, they've just decided that that's okay and that's just how it is. That's just normal. That's totally not normal. That's broken. That is broken Christianity. In fact, that's the type of Christianity that's on the slope down to being thrown out and trampled, okay? Don't be okay with that in your soul. It is time to be salt and light wherever we are. Just start asking the question, am I light to anybody? Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. And as a result of seeing what you're doing, as a result of that investment of light, as a result of that touching and those good works in the kingdom, as a result of that, they go, praise God. They meet Jesus and their hearts grow in thankfulness and love and connectedness to Jesus because of you. Ask yourself the question, am I being light to anybody? If you're not, there's a problem. I think it's helpful when we read verses like this for us to make assessment. Andy, you can come on up. I think it's important for us to make assessment because, like, I don't want to slip away. You know, it's so crazy because it all comes down to intentionality. You're intentional 10 days in a row, and then the 11th day you're not intentional anymore. And then day 12, you kind of go, I did it. I was unintentional yesterday. I'll just keep rolling with it. Day 13, you just stick with it. And you wind up with a pattern sometime down the road of being unintentional. We have got to intentionally be salt and light wherever we are. And it's not complicated. It just is intentional. Listen, I'll tell you this. Jesus loves your bad effort. I mean, you're like, you're trying the hardest you can and it shows up. And on a scale of 1 to 100, it's like a 0.5. Okay? You're like, man, that effort really wasn't that great. That's 0.5 more light than was there before. It doesn't have to be brilliant. It doesn't have to be systematic and well thought through. It's just got to be light. We have got to be light. And I want to invite us as a church to start thinking of ourselves in the capacity of the Great Commission, that we're making disciples of Jesus by teaching people the stuff Jesus has taught us already, by shining that light in the lives of those that are around us, whether formal situations or informal. It's time for us to be salt and light.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.